From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, Big Blue Roundtable, Big Blue Defensive Grades episode. Stakeholders, we're going to have some fun tonight. We're probably going to get a lot of education from all these intelligent Big Blue fans. Chris, what's going on? How's everything? Is Chris there? Oh, man, I don't know what's going on, man. Let's try this again. But anyway, well, we got the stakeholders on. Chris, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm right here, bro. I don't know what happened, man. I had one of those brain farts.
You had me talking to myself like I'm crazy or something, man. You know? I'm all here, like, trying to sweat the alley. But anyway.
We don't have a second to spare, man.
We're going to get everybody on.
No, we got to work on that. Yes, we do.
The defense, man, it's not. I'm going to be honest, and the stakeholders are going to get on. I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement. This was a terrible year with the defense. Statistically, and we're some hard professors, hard graders, and rightfully so. I mean, fans deserve better. So without further ado, because we got to get right into it, we're going to bring on everybody. We're going to lead off, of course, when it's the off season and get to the X's and O's side of things. The Big Blue Huddle, GiantsFans.net. Independently, one of the best, if not the best, source for your Giants in the offseason with knowledgeable fans on those message boards. And that will be Ed from the Big Blue Huddle. Ed, say hello to the people. We're going to do a roll call, go right down the line. Ed, how's everything?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Steve. Hi, Chris. How's everyone doing?
My man, GiantsFans.net. Ed is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on? The Huddle. Exactly. We'll be right back, Ed.
And of course, we got
Robbie at Everything NYG, and of course, and congratulations his promotion. Shout outs to Robbie, writer, Giants writer for Fansided, G-Man HQ at Everything NYG, everybody's favorite guy to hate on Twitter for the Giants. That would be Robbie. Robbie, what's going on? How you doing?
Yo, what's going on, guys? How's everyone doing?
What's going on?
Good, man. Right.
Not too much, man. I appreciate that shout out, man. It was good seeing you, by the way, down here in Florida.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're down in Florida, man. Kicked it with Robbie, man. Had a good time at that pizza spot. That was nice, man. Real good stuff.
Shout out to Robbie.
I had everything in YG. Now, of course, the seventh wonder of the tailgate world. I mean, this guy is the tailgate. Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. He is the definition of legend in tailgate. We can't call you lit. I won't call you lit no more. Legend in tailgate is in the building. Big Blue Arizona. Something like that.
What's up, everybody? We're about ready to rock the best Giant show ever. I cannot wait. Let's do this.
Legend in tailgate. Let's do it. Talk to him. And without the incomparable himself, the knowledgeable Mr. Analytics, of everything, when it comes to everything sports, Carl, Big Blue Chicago, BigBlueChicago.com. What's up, my man? How's everything?
Happy off season, everybody.
Hey, that's a new kind of euphemism. Happy off season.
I mean, I could have said this in September. I could have said this in September, but we have to wait a couple of months.
Good point.
That.
He's right.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Chris.
All right. Well,
we're going to start off with the defensive line. We're going to put everybody on for the 4 minutes. So, because we got everybody and cut the time, we're going to go 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with the D line. We're going to talk as a whole. If you want to talk individual players, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But within your 4 minutes on each area of the team, starting with the defensive line. You're going. I'll just put it out there right now. As far as the defensive line, I'm going with a D. A lot of it is more so because of the general manager. I don't think that's no secret. But I think we all know the night of the draft, is where they made the mistake of not getting the pass rusher. And, you know, Mark, you know, we'll talk about linebackers and all that with Marcus Golden and all that. But the defensive line, you know, put, you know, stuff in the run, it was okay, decent. Early on in the season, it struggled. But because we have these intelligent fans here, Chris, these intelligent, bright Giants fans from across the country, we want them to sound off. And we're going to start with Ed from the Big Blue Huddle because I know they tackled this topic over and over. Ed, by all means, we're going to start off with you for the 4 minutes. Defensive line, your grade and why. If you want to get to individual players within that 4 minutes, feel free. And then Robbie will be behind you. And then we'll go to Lit, Carl, then any other caller behind them. Go ahead, Ed, fire away.
All right, well, I think the defensive line is probably the best unit on the team. I graded them probably higher than most of you will. I gave them an A-. I would like to see more pressure from the inside. But, you know, we're talking about basically four players here. You got Williams, Leonard Williams. You know, when he came in, he provided a lot of pressure, and he's a good tackler. I think he was solid in all aspects of the game. I gave him an A for the time that he was here. And, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent this year. So his market value is around 5 years, $40 million, maybe $8.5 million a year. I don't know if the Giants are going to sign him, but they have the end to him, and I would hope that they would try to sign him. Dalvin Tomlinson is purely a defensive tackle. He didn't provide a lot of push, but he was excellent in run defense, but fair in the pass rush. He had 4 sacks, as I recall. This is his last year of his contract, and in 2021, he's an unrestricted free agent. So they could use him as trade bait, and I could see Dexter Lawrence replacing him. So, you know, it remains to be seen, but I thought he was solid. Dexter Lawrence, his first-year player, had a nice upside. He was solid in run defense, fair as a pass rusher. He's a versatile player, and I think he can line up at nose tackle, 3 technique, 5 technique. B.J. Hill, who was the starter, is now a solid backup. He never got to the next level after a good rookie campaign, but he had a decent year. So, I'm not high on this defense, but I have to say that the defensive interior is probably the best unit of the entire defense. So I gave them an A-. And you don't want to go into rushers and linebackers until later, right? So you just want to just stick
with
those guys.
Yeah. That's fine. Chris, you have any questions for Ed on the defensive?
No. I'm actually learning from the Big Ed, Big Blue Huddle right now, and I appreciate that. So are the rest of the fans. Speaking of the rest of the fans, if you're listening live, check us out on www.bleedblueshow.com. Check us out on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Bleed Blue Show, at Bleed Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show. All right. Next up, Steve, at Everything NYG. And as you previously mentioned, a Giants writer for the fan-sided team and headquarters.com, HQ, I should say, .com. Robbie, you are on for your 4 minutes. Let the fans know what you feel about this, what your grades are for the defensive line this past year.
I mean, I think the guy before me is a little generous. I'm going to give him, I mean, at absolute most, on like a great day, a C. I think the personnel of the D-line as a whole, outside of, you know, Leonard Williams being a free agent, I'm just going to act like he's a part of the team right now. Realistically, I think they are a C. I mean, the biggest problem with the team is the personnel, like I said, is not bad. I think Dexter Lawrence, I mean, he graded that way and he played that way. He's already a top 10, top 15 as far as nose tackle in the NFL. I mean, he played really, really well this year. And he also generated, 2-3 sacks, which is more than he got in 1 year at Clemson, which was interesting. And Dalvin Tomlinson, I mean, since he entered the league, he was a big surprise for me. I mean, when Jerry picked him, I wasn't happy. I forget who was on the board that I really wanted. We took him, and I was pissed because of the injury problems. But, I mean, knock on wood, he hasn't had a single issue, and he tore that ACL twice. So he's been great in run-stopping as well. Another guy that can't rush the passer, I mean, I think the biggest thing that would help this D-line is having versatility, like someone like the 49ers have. You know, they have Buckner, and then they have Armstead. They have one that is really good at pass rushing and one that's really good at run-stopping, and it complements each other really well. And I don't think we have that. And then Leonard Williams, you know, you plug him in, he's another one. doesn't really rush the passer very well. You know, everyone loves to go crazy about the whole, you know, pressures and pressure generating. So, and that's great. You know, I hear you. I get it. But I don't see it doing anything on the field. I don't see it stopping quarterbacks looking like Jesus against us every game. So I don't really buy into that too much. But as a whole, like I said, I think the personnel is there. I don't think it's a bad group. I just don't think it's a very, very good one, if that makes sense. I think we're really far apart still. I think the interior with Dalvin Tomlinson and Dexter Lawrence is great. But I think the outside, the biggest thing is to get someone like Yannick Ngakoue or somebody like that to rush the passer. And then if we kept Leonard Williams, then I'd feel a lot more comfortable with that. But we need one pure pass rusher to complement at least three of these, if not all three of them, two of them, if we can get another pass rusher. So for me, like the guy said before me, it is the best unit of the team, and that's not a good thing, in my opinion. I mean, it's not a good thing to be like, hey, this D-line is the best unit of this team. That's not something that I'd be too proud of. But it's not a bad group, and I hope the new D-line coach can help out a little bit. And I think the personnel is there. It's just we need more versatility. We're just so one-dimensional. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Dalvin Tomlinson and Leonard Williams, who I personally think Leonard Williams shouldn't get paid what he wants, but I think he will. So I'm going to take that with a grain of salt, and we'll see. I just think he's a little bit overrated for the whole pressure thing. I think it's way too much pro football talk and not enough stats. But that's just me.
Okay, so do you think they should go ahead in free agency and seek out a pass rusher, Robbie?
That's the market that's there. There's no reason that if Yannick Ngakoue does hit the agency, that needs to be your number one target, and it's not close. I mean, you run after his agent, chase him down.
Okay, got that. So that's Robbie. And anybody got a question for Robbie on the panel? Anyone? Okay, well, I'm gonna move this on. Steve, you got anything?
No, we're good for the defensive line. I'll save my question for last.
Okay.
Want to get through everybody. Everybody get on.
Okay, I want to go ahead and remind everybody to check out iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify to hear all archived programs from the Bleed Blue Show. Okay, what is it? The Legend and Tailgate? Is that what his name is?
Legend and Tailgate.
Hey, it's whatever Steve wants it to be. I'm down with it. Hey,
well,
listen,
you got 4 minutes, sir. Do your thing.
Okay.
Do your thing. We're talking
so
about
listen,
defensive line.
Steve, I know that we're talking about defensive line. I'm not going to be able to chime back in after this 4 minutes. If you would allow me the 4 minutes just to kind of sound off about the defense in general, I would appreciate that. I'm hoping that you would. So listen,
oh, sure.
I just want to say,
okay.
I appreciate that,
cool.
Sir. So listen, I just want to say it is great to have Ed and Robbie. We have many, many years of experience and X's and O's on this call tonight. So maybe what I'm saying, some people might agree, some people might not agree. But between Robbie and Ed and yourself, Chris and Steve, we got many, many years of X's and O's expertise. So listen, every position on the Giants, I'm giving a pass. Everybody gets a pass. It's not their fault. What the problems were with the New York Football Giants, the problems were the coaching, the management, and the regression of talent. This whole situation started 2 years ago when James Betcher was brought on. I got a lot of flack about, oh, we need to give him a chance. But if you understand how he ran Arizona and how he ran the Giants, it's like night and day. The Cardinals were like a trust. They were a living trust. You didn't have to do anything to the Cardinals except minor monthly maintenance, and they did their own thing. All James Betcher did was minor maintenance. It was a smooth transition. There were no issues. They were who they were. He comes over here. James Betcher is not a coach. His players were crying out to him. DeAndre Baker, I don't understand the playbook. Why wasn't James Betcher in 80s or 90s short shorts or man leggings getting with DeAndre Baker, showing him how to move his hips, how to change direction when his opponent broke a different way? Why did he do that? Because that is not his thing. He's not a coach. Moving on, the regression of talent between Dave Gettleman's draft 2 years ago and to this year has regressed. On the defensive side, Lorenzo Carter regressed. R.J. McIntosh regressed. B.J. Hill regressed. Tay Davis is gone. So what do we have to show for that draft class except regression? They were great their first year, but their second year, they kind of dissipated. Maybe the draft that Gettleman did last year, they were better. It remains to be seen. They were also never coached. Lorenzo Carter was never coached. I thought that he would be an up-and-coming a stud year number two, but he dissipated. Moving on to David Gettleman. David Gettleman put all these pieces. He put his cabinet together with his coach, his assistant coaches, and his DC. His cabinet failed him. He never once thought, you know what, maybe I should make a statement and get rid of a cabinet member, a coach, a DC. He never did anything. He stood pat. He also allowed some marquee players. Maybe it was for money. We don't know, but we'll use Devon Kennard. Devon Kennard had a ball out year this year. I mean, he played better than his Giants counterparts at his position. Why didn't we keep him? He could have been molded. He could have been a mentor, a leader, but they never gave him the opportunity. They let him go and thought that what he drafted or he brought in could equal or better what Devon Kennard was. It didn't work. Again, I'm not placing blame on any player. There's three elements: the management, the regression of the draft class, and the coaching. That is why the defense was the way it is. I'm hoping that Ed and Robbie and you guys, Carl especially, can add, take away, or interject and say I'm wrong. But thank you very much for having me. I will listen to the last part of the show on mute.
All right. This is why they call it the Forum of the Fans. This is the Bleed Blue Show. That's the say it against the
Legend and Tailgate.
Mm-hmm. To Arizona. No.
Hall of Fame.
All right. All
yes,
right.
Sir.
Carl, speaking of Big Blue, BigBlueChicago.com. Carl, you're gonna weigh in on the defensive line as well, sir. Give us
yes.
your grade.
Yes. Overall, I gave them a C. And the reason I did that, I kind of had to grade them. I should have graded them a little bit more harshly than I did, because I weigh how a team, how a defensive line controls the line of scrimmage and rushes the quarterback far more than how they stop the run. I think we just saw a team that was, 29th in the league and the Chiefs win the championship a few days ago.
Yep.
And the year before, a team that was 28th stopping the run won the championship. Like, the idea of, well, they played well, or I'm giving them a certain grade because they were better at run-stopping the passing. Run defense these days, I'm sorry. I just don't put – we have enough statistical data now that shows that run-stopping is not as valuable as pass rushing. Stopping these dudes when it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, that is how – defense is played now. And unfortunately, you know, this season, we didn't see that. You know, when teams got – I have to pull up my numbers here for a second. When teams got the third down of 7 yards or more, they completed at a rate of 28%. How many times did you watch a game this season where it was 3rd down and 7, the quarterback went back to throw, and you could almost say 1,000, 2,000. He's looking left. He's looking right, making a sandwich. He's cooking dinner, looking down the field, and able to complete – you know, complete plays for first downs that kept drives alive, if not scored touchdowns. And so from that perspective, having guys on the interior that we have, like Lawrence, who played pretty well this season, having Leonard Williams, who, if you're only counting his rush statistics, if you're only counting his rush defense, okay, fine, he played well. But guys like Golden, who had a very good season when it came to rushing the quarterback, and then Lorenzo Carter, who, you know, just another guy who's out there. And then, of course, B.J. Hill, who, you know, after about the 6th game of the season, slowly found his way out of the rotation in terms of just total snap. It became a situation where if you just watch the game, how many times did you watch the games this season, play for play, and said, you know what, defensive line's playing really well tonight? Didn't really happen very much. And so we have sort of like two separate visions of this. We have the idea of the defensive line is the best part of the team, but then we're also looking at the results while we're watching the games, and they seem to be in confliction with each other. And so I gave them a C, and going forward, the only way you're going to be able to win, you got to rush the quarterback. You know, going out and putting all your eggs in one pass rusher, that's not going to get it done. The minimum these days you need to have out there is two, minimum. Before you, if you have one guy and that guy can, you know, kind of be handled by opposing team offenses, and you don't have anybody else that's going to back up and play a big role, that's having one guy doesn't do anything for you. So you want to get Ngakoue, fine. But two dudes on the defensive line, and then you want to sprinkle these rest of these guys in, then I think we have a recipe going forward. But until you give me two high-profile, not high-profile, but high-end pass rush talents on this particular defense, right now we're just going to be spinning our wheels until multiple defensive players are on this roster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
Actually, you and Robbie kind of are close to each other. Am I right, Rob, in that assessment in terms of – yeah. Hello? Did you say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I was asking
because
Robbie.
What...
Did he –
Yeah. Well, let me add this
okay,
to it.
Okay, I don't know what happened to him.
Let's add this to it. So the team is being designed as – a big, you know, almost based on power and less based on speed and athleticism. Well, against offenses that will open up your defense, right? Meaning that they're spreading you out, they're playing at a higher tempo. What is the value of having very large defensive linemen that can basically only play inside? Like
is that the end goal or what to have
well,
them designed
if
on power? I don't know.
If you're gonna be putting a substantial portion of money into Leonard Williams, and then
okay.
Like for instance here, let me ask you this: do you believe the Giants are gonna re-sign Dalvin Tomlinson and re-sign Leonard Williams?
That's a good question. That's for you to answer.
For me?
No.
You want to go right down the line? Let's ask everybody.
Let's do that.
My answer is no. My answer is no.
Right.
Okay.
The reason I'm phrasing that question that way is this. Yeah, here's the reason I'm phrasing that question that way.
Let's ask the question.
Okay.
Let's ask that question.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's in combination. For Ed, Big Blue Huddle, GiantsFans.net, in combination, okay, that question and also an assessment, if you will, on how you see the linebacker or how you saw the linebacker.
Chris, you're getting too far ahead. You got to get to your assessment, and then I'll speak and we'll get
back
to Ed.
I'm skipping my assessment. I want to your assessment, Steve.
Hold on.
Rather have it that way. I don't want to
call.
I want to skip my
assessment
completely.
Ed, can you answer that question from Carl as far as the signing of those Giant players?
Are you talking about whether they're going to be able to sign Dalvin Tomlinson and Leonard Williams? No, I don't think they'll be able to sign both. So I think it's a matter of I think Gettleman brought in Leonard Williams hoping that he would be able to keep him and sign him, and if he's able to do that for a third-round pick, then it's a win for him. I don't think they'll be able to keep Dalvin Tomlinson. Like I said, Tomlinson is on his last year of the contract, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. Now, they could use him as trade bait because he has 1 year left. I think they're going to try to keep all four guys. I agree with – what's the gentleman's name who's legend in tailgating? What's his name? What's his name?
Lit.
Lit. Okay. I think he made a good point about Betcher, and it's not, you know, there was a lot of regression by a lot of the players on this team on the defensive side. And I think especially, you know, the defensive backs, they were absolutely lost. I'm going to mention it probably later when we hit on some of this stuff. I look at the defensive interior linemen as something different. I don't consider them they provide the push in a 3-4 defense. These are the guys that tie up the middle. They push. They try to get the quarterback out of the pocket, And then your edge rushers, your outside linebackers, they're the ones who I consider the pass rushers. Do you want me to segue into edge rushers, or did you want to go around with that question?
We're going to go around with that question. Robbie,
do you think they're going to get signed?
Okay. And then we'll go back to Chris. Robbie, what's your thoughts on that question as far as signing those players? You think the Giants are going to do that or not?
As far as, you mean Leonard Williams? I didn't hear exactly the subject. I'm a little distracted. You talking about Leonard Williams?
Yeah, Leonard Williams.
Yes.
And Tomlinson.
I mean, Tomlinson, probably not, to be honest with you. I think, honestly, they're going to bite the bullet and they will sign Leonard Williams. But Tomlinson, I can honestly see them walking because with Dexter, I feel like they'll keep him and they'll draft somebody again and they'll rinse, recycle, and repeat the same process over and over as they did with Damon Harrison. Try to find somebody, don't pay him because I don't think they value the defensive, you know, the nose tackle position enough. So what they do is they can keep drafting someone. So I see them doing that there, and I see them overpaying for Leonard Williams, but I see them letting Dalvin walk if I had to see the future.
Okay.
Chris, what about you?
What about me? Pretty much what Robbie said. They're going to have to make a decision here. But see, I'm going to combine what Robbie just said with what Carl alluded to, and that is what kind of team are we building? I have to know exactly obviously, if these guys are in the position of front office, they have a vision of where this team is going. And I don't know what the vision is yet. That's my question. I don't know where they're headed. So I don't know what they're going to do, but my guess is, if I had to guess, I think they would keep probably Williams because they don't want to look like they're making a mistake in this market. That's just
right,
me.
Right.
And that has
right,
not,
I agree
not,
with that.
And that's not necessarily anything to do with building a team or defensive powerhouse. I just think it's a matter of dollars and cents. That's what I'm thinking. But, yeah. It's right now is a crapshoot. I'm not really sure, Steve. I can't.
Right.
But I'm enjoying the show. So,
before we get to the linebackers, let me say my piece on the D line. I said D earlier at the start of the show. Oh, but to answer your question, I'm with Robbie. I mean, it's going to be the same situation like Linval Joseph. I mean, this is what they're going to do when it's time for payday.
Exactly.
You're going to draft. You're going to have somebody in waiting, and that's pretty much what's going to happen. That's why Dexter Lawrence is there, or part of the reason why he's there.
Exactly.
Right. I said D because
I like that.
My biggest issue with the D line, I understand what everybody's saying as far as their job is to get the push, close down AB gaps, stuff like that. But my issue, especially when we needed to set the tone at the start of games, there was a stretch of games. I mean, first of all, we could go back to the first Dallas game. I just think they were outmatched because that's probably more of an above average line. They're not the same offensive line, the Cowboys, like they have been in the past, but they're still good enough to get the job done versus us at the line of scrimmage. But that game bothered me. But the games like Minnesota at home, the games like Arizona, especially Arizona getting home in the rain, where a game Ed was at, Lit was at, I was at, that game really bothered me more than anything out of this season with our offensive line because our defensive line because they had no sense of urgency in that game. That part, and if you could get on our linebackers in that game, they're part of the reason too. But the defensive line did not, you know, set the tone. Guys like Chase Edmonds getting gashed right through the holes, letting the offensive line of the Cardinals set the tone, and they're one of the worst lines in the league. I went back and watched that game, and it was disgusting to watch. The Detroit game was bad, but it was more because of miscues on the offense. But the games that we really needed was the Dallas and the Jets game, and those are another games where at home, well, you can call the Jets games a road game, but it's still MetLife, however you want to spin it. Those games, those opposing offensive lines were beating the crap out of us, especially setting the tones in game. But I do agree with Dexter Lawrence. He was my favorite guy out of the bunch, and I agree with Ed as far as Thompson, getting the sacks. He kind of picked it up towards later in the year as far as getting after the quarterback. But mostly when I look at the defensive line, I mean, their job is pretty much make sure they disrupt the offensive line. So guys made a lot of the points I already would have said. I want to save some time by not repeating it, but I just think they were below average, not necessarily enough, but not average enough for me. because when I look at a team, especially when you're rebuilding with a young quarterback, the most important thing I want to see is the offensive line, defensive line do their job. If they're at least above average, we'll be an 8-8 team. And this is one of the reasons why we're not an 8-8 team, because both sides of the line, we'll get to the offense in 2 weeks. The D line, in my opinion, didn't do their part. Let's get to the linebackers. Ed, linebackers,
okay.
You're great.
Let's do that.
All right, well, you have edge rushers and outside linebackers. I consider these gentlemen part of the defensive line. They're the guys that are your pass rushers. There's a couple of young up-and-coming players out there, but they need a better pass rush, no doubt, because there was just too much time where the quarterback was holding on to the ball. Lorenzo Carter, for the amount of times that he might have been in coverage, he was okay. He was pretty good. He was a solid run stopper, but he had weak tackling and coverage and his poor pass rush. It didn't live up to expectations. I expected a breakout year for Lorenzo Carter. Didn't happen. I gave him a C+. O'Shane Zimenez, the X-Man, he flashed as a pass rusher, and he has some potential coming out of a small school program out of Old Dominion. I see him as a player that could be a good pass rusher and outside an edge rusher. I think he picked up as the year went on. Marcus Golden, I gave him a B. I think he's a bit overrated based on his sack numbers. They were good, but he disappeared against good talent. He was the best pass rusher on the team. He had 12 sacks. He had 15 hits and 37 hurries, which was the most on the team. He's an unrestricted free agent, and I think they can do better for the price. He's going to be he's going to command about $14 million a year. So I don't know that the Giants are going to sign him. If they get a pass rusher, the first day of the draft, if somebody happens to fall to them, I don't see Chase falling to them, but they do need a pass rusher here. Tuzak's Skipper, I gave him a B. He's a solid backup. He's a good tackler, and he's solid in run defense. And Kareem Martin, they got to replace him. So they need some good backup players. They need some good practice squad players, some up-and-coming players. Lorenzo Carter and Zimenez, I think they're keepers. It's a question mark about Marcus Golden. He's an unrestricted free agent, like I said. Now, the inside linebackers, those are the guys that hit the gaps. They're the ones that support run defense, but they're also the ones that go out in coverage. They can cover a tight end, or they can cover the running back coming out of the backfield. This is an important position, which I think was the worst position on the team. Ryan Connolly, I give him an incomplete. He flashed last season as a player. He has a good nose for the ball. He was decent in coverage, but that was his primary responsibility in this defense, and then he got hurt. Ogletree, I think it's time that we part ways with him. He was the one setting up the front seven, and there was some confusion there as to where players needed to be. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He's got a dead cap of $3.5 million, but they saved $8 million by cutting him or trading him. And I don't think he's going to be back. He may not be back. They should be looking to upgrade this position. This is the position they should seriously be looking to upgrade. Deion Buchanan, again, Madee, that player's got to be upgraded. Taufa, I gave him a C. He's a great tackler, but he wasn't where he needed to be very often. I think he's a keeper as a backup. Nate Stupar, F, replace him. Tay Davis, solid tackler, but he needs to be replaced. So I gave the inside linebackers a D, and I gave the edge rushers a C, somewhere around a C. So, and again, to me, they're just two different positions.
Right. All right. Very good assessment. That's Ed, Big Blue Huddle, GiantsFans.net. Okay, let's keep this conversation going. I like that. I like this assessment. Robbie, at Everything NYG, you're up, sir. But before I say that, 929-477-4171, you're listening to Big Blue Roundtable. Big Blue Defensive Grades has been the name of this program. Robbie, fire away, sir.
All right, man. Yes, straight up, the linebacking core is bad, real bad. I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but the biggest name that I feel like is – I don't know how – I wish I could be like this in my career. Kareem Martin, I don't know why he was signed. I don't know why he's here. He's still here eating up money, doing nothing. I really wish I could do that with my life. But him and Alec Ogletree are two of the biggest issues, and it's not close. I mean, Alec Ogletree, if you look at the stats, he had an incredible year, right? But if you're like all of us on this show, you watch the games, you watch the film, you watch the in-depth stuff, it was horrific. I mean, really, really, really bad. And, I mean, even if we took a penalty, say we didn't save $5 million in cap by cutting in the lead, and we took a penalty of five, I'd still cut him. But I got excited. The guy was talking before me. You know, it somehow slipped my mind. Ryan Connolly.
Right.
I loved watching him play. He was really, really good to me. I mean, to me, before when we drafted him, I was on a separate show with John Sunderland. He was asking me about him, and I said he was my sleeper of the year. And I said that because of how well he covered tight ends. And that translated really well into the league. And I mean, he played great. He was a leader right away. He knew the playbook. And honestly, Alec Ogletree bluntly became his bitch right away for the weeks that he was there. And then he was confused bluntly again when he got hurt. So I think realistically the whole linebacking core as a whole just needs a massive reboot. As much as I want Marcus Golden back, I'm hearing from a lot of people within my new sector that he's looking for 4 years, $40 million. First off, he's going to be 29 in March. And second off, I just don't think he's worth $10 million a year. Maybe, I don't know, maybe from another team, but I can't see them paying him $40 million outright. He'll probably want half or more of that guaranteed. And then you have Leonard Williams to worry about as well. So I can't see them bringing him back unless it's, you know, if I had to take a shot right now, I'd say 2 years, 25. And I know that's still a lot of year, but it's less of a commitment. But yeah, like I said, cut Kareem Martin, cut Alec Ogletree, bring back, obviously, well, not bring back, but he'll be back for Connolly. And then you just need to whoever is running it this time, I can't think of Patrick Graham. What he needs to do this time around is play O'Shane Zimenez, play Lorenzo Carter, because I know I think it was Worm or Lich talking earlier. I don't remember who it was. He was saying how they regressed. I disagree completely. I don't think Lorenzo Carter digressed at all. I think he didn't get a chance to progress. I think that was the biggest problem is there was nothing there that he could have got on the field and utilized to become a better player because he didn't play. And O'Shane Zimenez, when he did play, he got two sacks against Jason Peters. I mean, if that name rings a bell, that's one of the best left tackles in the NFL, and he went head-on-head with him, and he got two sacks. Finally, he got play time. So I think we have two really good edge rushers there. So if we do lose Marcus Golden, I think they're good replacements. But my thing with the Giants, man, is I'm tired of basically just being good enough. We're not great in any position outside of running back, and we're not excelling anywhere else where it's like, you know, okay, this is our bread and butter. So I really would rather not have two second-year guys basically holding it down and hoping they play well. But I'd rather have them than Kareem Martin, Alec Ogletree, and whoever else. So I guess basically right now it's just grading. But I'd say as a whole, I mean, the linebacking core is just really bad. Deion Buchanan, he won't be back. And it's just going to be one of those things that I think they're going to go heavy on in the draft again. And I think the number one target in the draft needs to be Isaiah Simmons. And if you grab him, you can revamp that entire linebacking core, Connolly, Isaiah Simmons, and then you can put O'Shane and Lorenzo Carter in and out between each other. Then we're talking. And then say you do have Marcus Golden. Then you have a great linebacking core for what it looks like, Marcus Golden and two other pass rushers that are developing. Okay, now we're talking.
Right.
That's how easy it is to fix it. But the problem is they won't make it that advantage. Okay, so realistically, it just won't be. It'll take a few years, and it'll take a few gems like Ryan Connolly was. He was a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I think that's not their first priority. It never has been. And I still don't think it's Dave Gettleman's first priority. I mean, he's so worried about the So Hog Molly thing. I get it. That's fine. But our O-line wasn't particularly great, and neither was the D-line. So I think it's time to maybe back up a line from the Hog Mollies and see if we can secure a linebacker hybrid in Isaiah Simmons. And they've got to make it a lot better. But realistically, right now, it's just cut people. You just got to cut three of those dudes, and you got to start fresh, and you got to go back to the drawing board, and you have to see what you have in free agency and in the draft. And you need to just accept where you were wrong. That's it. So they need to be able to take accountability for where their signings were wrong and get rid of them. And it starts with Alec Ogletree and Kareem Martin.
Oh, what's your grade, though, overall?
Yeah.
Great as a whole, man. I mean, when they're all healthy.
No. From what you saw this season.
Oh, from this season? An F.
Yeah.
Period.
You said F?
Yeah,
F.
I just
want to
make sure
honestly.
I heard it clear. That's all.
All right.
Like,
that's fine. I'd give him an E. Really bad.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
So you're talking about a complete upgrade, revamping, just whoosh.
I'm saying literally strip it down, Katrina that thing, and just restart. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. At everything NYD. I love it. Okay. Rolling along on the big blue round table, Carl. Grade for the linebackers and so on and so forth, and then I have some questions later on. Do your thing.
I thought Robbie was cheating on my paper when he gave that F grade out, because I have the exact same grade as well this season. You know, the first game that I had seen in person was when we were in Tampa together, and at that point I didn't really have a good feel in terms of how the linebacking core would eventually play out to be. I believe Ryan Connolly that day, I believe he had an interception, but the defense, even that day, if you had taken a look at how the linebacking core sort of played, it was very, very spotty. But then when I saw them 2 weeks later at home against Minnesota, and that was the day when it really sort of stuck out to me, because there were so many plays in which you can tell that the lack of overall speed, of coverage ability, of impact, none of those three things, there was no player on the Giants linebacking core that could do any of those three things, or at least one of them, and do them at a highly effective level. And, you know, we've been sort of at this linebacker discussion now for what, at least 10 years? Like, it seems like we've been having the same discussion every year for about 10 years.
Yes, since Antonio Pierce.
Michael Boley came along a little bit, but he had, you know, a short run.
Yeah.
Chase Blackburn had about a 6-game run, and then after that, you know, it seems like we've been trying to piecemeal that particular position. And I know Carl Banks has a term that he's been trying to sort of, you know, wash away the impact of this position by saying, well, there's an expectation for the position. Well, the problem with saying that is that, like, we've been seeing badness for so long that to hell with your expectations. They need better players. That's what it is.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the first thing, and I know there is, you know, the idea of, oh, let's get back to the days of the 80s and let's, you know, get a whole bunch of good linebackers out there. And maybe that's true. I don't disagree with that. But what do we want out of this linebacking crew? Are we looking for speed? Right now we don't have it. And that's the thing that we need to sort of find out from this new coaching staff is, okay, what are you looking for? Because I watched the 49ers this season, and I watched Fred Warner, and I watched Quan Alexander, who they signed, and he was a big impact player until he got hurt. Then I saw the young player that they had, and we just saw Minnesota Bill Greenlaw, making a number of plays out there as well. And he was, I believe, a 6th or 7th round draft pick. You know, what you saw in the playoff games leading into that, you saw the amount of space that they covered. There was almost like a no-fly zone from about a 4 to 7 yard distance on the field. And so when we look at our defense coming up, you know, looking back on last season and looking ahead to this season, you could take every position of the linebacking core outside of the edge rushers, from the two middle linebackers and maybe even sprinkle in a third player, and you could say, just like Robbie said, replace all of them. Now, you want to draft Isaiah Simmons? I'll go with you on that. The thing is, I don't look at him strictly as a linebacker. I look at him as a multi-positional player that can do a whole lot of different things with his play safety, play slot, play linebacker on the inside, play linebacker on the outside. So I don't want to pigeonhole him into any one particular position. And I know that's the consensus of who they draft. If you want to go free agency, I know one guy that Joe Judge is familiar with is Kyle Van Noy, who's with the Patriots. Corey Littleton of the Rams is a free agent. He's probably the top 2 or 3 linebackers that is on the market. And he's probably going to cost you around the same amount that, as I finish up here, it'll probably cost you the same amount as Alexander did last year, but then you get into a numbers game of, okay, how much money am I putting into the defensive line and the linebackers to improve this roster? And that's where you start asking yourself the questions of, okay, how do we want to pull this off?
Right. this has been an interesting show with these grades. And I have a big question that I wanted to put it in now, but it wouldn't be right unless we got the secondary assessment in. Steve, do you have anything? Do you have anything you want to chime in about? I'm really learning here.
Yeah, hold that question towards later. I went D minus with the linebackers. I think we're all in agreement. This is the worst unit on the entire football team. I'm trying to think of points that nobody else said. I mean, y'all kind of. It's like everybody said a little bit of what I said. I'm glad somebody brought up Ryan Connolly because I thought his trajectory was at a point of B minus because he looked real fresh before he had the ACL injury. And I actually missed the mark on him because when we drafted him, a lot of us did come on the show said he's going to be more of a special teams player, but he was definitely better than that guy from San Diego State we had a couple of years ago. I'm glad I forgot his name. I don't even want to remember his name. But the linebacker, it'll come to me later. But anyway, I want to go down the line. Like Kareem Martin, I agree, he's got to go. Ogletree was a stat pattern towards the end. Remember, there was an episode, I think it was probably about week 10, and I came on one of the pregame shows. There was at a point at the time, if you're going to run a 3-4 defense, I think we're all intelligent enough to know that if you're going to run that kind of set, that front, you have to have above average linebackers at minimum, at least B-level linebackers. You cannot go into war with D-minus talent in the D-minus to this point scheme because schematically, you run in a 3-4, you don't have 3-4 linebackers. That's just a no-no. And it got exposed, and it got exposed for what it was. That's why we were accurate on our prediction shows. And it goes back to the guys like Alec Ogletree, stat padding towards the end of the year, because I said one of those, week 10, week 11 shows, I said at one point the secondary, you had to get to the eighth player on defense before you got to as far as tackles. So the first seven players were all from the secondary as far as at week 11. The season was already over at that point. We probably were coming off the bye or going to Chicago, something like that. So Marcus Golden, if you want to call it a bright spot, I mean, that's probably the only reason why I haven't given it an F because coming off the injury that he had and he didn't show up in big games. I agree with you, Ed. I'm with you on that. But that's kind of somewhat progress, but he's at that age. It's like, you know what, you know, the money, we could get into contracts and all that at another time. I thought he was kind of almost a saving grace because there were some plays, you know, he did his job. I'll give him that, but everybody else for the most part, and I'm with a lot of people as far as Lorenzo Carter. I think he's not getting coached up correctly because we've seen his talent in the SEC, and he was a dog. He's not getting the proper coaching and coached up, so he's kind of on. It's almost like you kind of have to give him a pass, and I'm like on lit with that. But Mayo was a stat pattern. Stupar, I don't know how he got back on the team. I don't know what kind of strings he pulled. But the whole unit, Kareem Martin gone. Carter, he could stay. Stupar gone. Mayo gone. Connolly, when he gets back. Now, of course, like Robbie said, and you know we're going to get into our draft shows next month or whenever it is. I love Isaiah Simms. I love Murray Jr. out of Oklahoma. I mean, they're going to be on the table when we are on the clock. So that's the story for another day. But these linebackers, like Carl said, the Minnesota game, the Arizona game, these are home games too. Did not show up. Career days for, you know, for opposing teams, running backs, all time to throw, can't cover tight ends, can't cover in the seam routes, can't get on the out routes. No, you know, Kareem Martin as your pass rusher and is not going to get the job done. Just a D minus, only because I did, you know, I'm being favorable because of Marcus Golden. Outside of that, nah, I'm good, man. D minus for me, linebackers.
No direction or coaching. That's what I felt like it was, you know. There
I think
no,
it's a core personnel
leader.
Well,
yeah,
Chris,
well, that too. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to play a 3-4, you have to have linebackers. There's no way around it.
And then
you put these sub-packages too. I mean, that's more of an initial secondary situation. But I just can't, man. Like, that's a Gettleman issue, you know.
I don't blame the coaching at all.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
But we did I don't think Connolly was kind of looked at as the saving grace either. Maybe I don't think they looked at him as, okay, we're getting him out of Wisconsin and he's going to be this sleeper pick everybody passed up on. He's going to be this all world. I think he just became a nice piece that we needed. But we need more beyond him, of course. But nah, but we need a whole new core, and we got to get it in this draft. And there's going to be some players in the ticket for that, or even in free agency if we choose to do that. Let's get to the secondary.
I truly believe he's going to be part of the new core still. That's going forward. But we'll talk about that on the next go-round. You're right. Secondary, starting with Big Blue Huddle, GiantsFans.net. Let's do it. Secondary, sir.
All right, well, I want to break down cornerbacks versus safeties because I think that the production and you know, how they play was differently. So you start with the cornerbacks. I felt that this was the worst coached unit on the team. We had a lot of young players, and I don't think that there was enough support. I think that they were lost. I hate placing blame on any one person here. You know, you got to blame the head coach, the general manager. It's like having a brand new quarterback, a young quarterback, and you don't have a quarterback coach. How stupid was that? So what we're seeing here with Judge is that he's bringing in guys that can teach, that can coach. They know how to instruct. They can build a rapport with the players. You know, he's got a staff that, you know, that supports each other. So he's got layers upon layers. He's got experienced coaches, and he's got coaches from the collegiate level. So getting to the cornerbacks, I think most of these players were put into a system that just they weren't suited for. They were put into zone, and they were very confused. There were times where they had to be moved around. They didn't know who was covering who. There was times that, you know, the safety would get blasted for a blown coverage when I knew it was a cornerback that you know, he was supposed to be on man and he was in zone. So I think what we're going to see is an immediate improvement with just the change in the coaching with Jerome Henderson coming in. So looking at the players, you got Janoris Jenkins. Well, he's gone. He was past his prime. He was a C at best. Antonio Hamilton, they could do better. He was a good situational pass rusher, but he not good, not great in coverage. There was a lot of breakdowns. Sam, now let me get to Grant Haley. Solid tackler, poor in coverage. I think he regressed from the year before. He's somebody they should replace. So you got your three core young cornerbacks. You got Sam Beal. He's a young player with some upside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, towards the end of the season, he started to show better. He's a solid tackler. Yeah. DeAndre Baker, poor kid, was thrown in from day one, an inexperienced rookie thrown to the Wolves. He had marked improvement in the last four games of the season, so there's optimism there. But this kid struggled. And Corey Ballantyne, solid in run support, good tackler, but he struggled in pass coverage all season. He was absolutely lost. So Ballantyne, I'd give a D, Baker a D, Haley a D, Beal a C. I would say that this I hate giving an F, but this cornerback group was almost an F. It was a D, but they did improve towards the end of the season. As far as the safeties go, Julian Love, I think he exceeded my expectations. He came a long way from where he was at the beginning of the season.
Nope. And disregard. Continue.
I will. Okay. And I think he was solid across the board. But we need better coverage and deep coverage. We need a safety that can cover. I don't know if he's going to be the guy. I know they're going to wind up replacing Bethea, and they're going to want to draft the cover of free safety to compete with Love. I'd give Love a B. I thought he did well. Antoine Bethea, he was the best run defender in the secondary. He led the team in tackles. He was a solid tackler. There was some breakdowns in coverage. Some of it was not his fault. I think he was hurt or maybe he wore down because of his age at the end of the season, because the last three games of the season, he played pretty badly. This is his last year on his contract. I think he's got like a little over $100,000 in dead cap. I don't expect them to keep him and bring him back unless they're forced to. Jabril Peppers, I give him a B. I think he excelled in pass rushing situations. I think he struggled as a tackler and in run support. He's kind of the opposite of Landon Collins, where Landon Collins was great in the box and run support, a tackler. I think Peppers was better in coverage. He came on strong the last three games of the season before he got hurt. This is the last year of his rookie contract, but the Giants hold on to his fifth-year option in 2021. So this is a deciding season for him coming up. and I expect him to play better. Michael Thomas replaced him. He's a D. Sean Chandler,
okay.
Lousy. He's a D. Safeties, I would give overall like a C, C minus too.
C minus. That's Ed, C minus. Gotcha. Ed,
cornerbacks
a D. GiantsFans.com. Cornerbacks a B.
D.
Okay. D. Oh, D. Okay, let me get that.
D.
Gotcha. Robbie at Everything NYG. Do your thing. Robbie?
My fault. I'm here.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, no. I mean, are we spacing it basically with DBs too, like free safety, strong? Yeah, I heard somebody talking about Landon Collins.
Yeah, I mean, you could combine it. I mean, you could, if you want to do it individually, cornerbacks and then safeties and combine the two, you could do it that way. However
yeah.
you want to do it.
No,
do it,
my
yeah.
bad. I've been a little bit distracted with the dog. You know how it is. he knows, trust me. But, no, I mean, as far as the DB go, I wouldn't say it's the worst part of the field because we already said that with the linebackers, but the corners as a whole, I think the most disappointing thing for me has still been Sam Buell. I was really excited for him. I honestly view him as a bust at this point. I don't think he's even worth hanging on to at this point, to be completely honest with you. I mean, there's certain guys that I'd rather – I mean, you guys know how I feel. I've always been the type that I'd rather go out and get a free agent that's fighting to, you know, get a snap in the NFL than someone that, you know, keeps being given to them, and I feel that's Sam Buell. I mean, he's been hurt, what, the last two and a half years? How long? We drafted him, what, 2 years ago? And he hasn't played
like
a snap. And the game that he did play, he was horrific, and they targeted him the whole game. So I don't know. Maybe a new defensive coordinator will help. But DeAndre Baker, I think we all talked a lot of shit about him, and I think he listened to it, and I respect the hell out of him for that, just like Ryan Tannehill, just like Kirk Cousins, and just turned it into something. And he played great on the second half of the season. He looked really promising. So that's good. But I don't know, man. As a whole, the cornerback group is just not it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, as a whole, it needs a lot of work as well. I mean, we have the fundamental DeAndre Baker. Maybe we have Sam Beal. It's a little bit. We got rid of Janoris Jenkins. It's kind of a tough. I mean, we needed to get rid of Janoris Jenkins. He's been butt for the last 2 years. Most overrated corner I've ever seen in my life. He gas himself up in interviews and then gets himself cut by calling somebody a retard. So it's just, it's only rightfully so. And then free safeties, that's rough too. Antoine Bethea, he had a good year, tackle-wise, grade-wise. He's just not a starter anymore, in my opinion. Michael Thomas, he's one that's a little bit weird. I don't know what he does. He's more of a special teams guy, special teams captain. And then we have Jabril Peppers, who, to be honest with you, I love him as a player, but he had a really not a great year. So I'm kind of rambling on it, man. It's hard to find anything good, to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and blast anything that I like about it. I'm not going to blast it and say I hate everything about it. It's just kind of another one of those positions on the Giants that is not good. It's not the worst in the league, but it's sure as hell not anywhere near the top percent of the best. It's just maybe they'll have a good game. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll lock up somebody. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll play good tomorrow. They'll play horrible the next week. You really don't know. And we need a guy on our team, like every other position. We need him at one spot for each big group that we can depend on. Every single week, just like DRC, we were able to depend on him for a long time. Jalen Ramsey, guys like that you can depend on and know are going to be or going to lock down that the other team's number one receiver. And we don't have that. Not yet. I feel like DeAndre Baker can be that. I really do. I just don't think we're going to see it for another year, maybe two, until contract time, because that's just how that seems to work. Isn't that funny? But I don't know, man. It's another one of those positions. I don't really have much to say on it outside of what I said. It's not good. But this year, there's a lot of good free agency. You have Justin Simmons, and you have, I think his name's Anthony Harris from the Vikings. There's a bunch of really good players. So it's another position that we need to target really hard. And if I had to pick one guy, if it wasn't Yannick Ngakoue, I would go after Justin Simmons right now, tomorrow. Free safety from the Denver Broncos, 24 years old. Hell of a player. But I'm sorry, man. I don't have a lot to say on that group. It's just, it's not good.
Okay.
It's old, and it's not good.
Okay. No problem. That's Robbie at Everything NYG. Carl, BigBlueChicago.com. You're up.
Wow. I mean, I'm not even sure how much more to add than what everybody else has already put forward. You know, the thing about the cornerback position when it was drafted, when free agency happened, and then when the season started, was the idea that, okay, they're going to be a little bit green to start the season out, but we'll see progression as the season goes along as a whole. Maybe not, but as we ended up playing it out, that's not exactly what happened. You know, individually, you know, DeAndre Baker had his struggles and then came on later in the season and played, you know, better than terrible. Let's just put it that way. As far as we look at that, I look at, you know, the replacement for Jenkins. You know, Beal got in the lineup for about two games, I believe, and I didn't see – and he didn't stand out to me in the about 50 plays I saw him play. So I'm looking at that area, and then I'm looking at the safeties, and it was mentioned, you know, about Peppers. What I'm trying to figure out with Peppers, you know, what do we have in him? Because, as was mentioned earlier, he's like the inverse of Landon Collins, and that's not a good thing. Like, you know, like when we're trying to, you know, evolve this team, it's like, okay, if we basically are, you know, having a sort of repetition of the same thing, like where is the progress being made? If I'm going to give the safeties a grade overall in terms of Julian Love, Antoine Bethea, the less I see of him, I mean, I think the highlight of his season was the game against the Cowboys the second time around when I believe it was 3rd and 15 or 3rd and 12. And I just remember the wide receiver just somehow Bethea not even just, and the ball was in the end zone. So hopefully that's what we've seen the last of that. I think that this group, guys, needs at least one veteran player that is of high quality on that back end of the ball. And the sort of equivalent for this, remember when the 49ers signed Richard Sherman when the 49ers were not projected to be any good? Like, if you start with – I think that's something – I don't think you can just have, like, four young dudes and just run along with it. I don't think you can do that. I think there needs to be at least one sort of stabilizing force that is playing back there to help the young guys along and also provide high quality production himself. I'm sorry, Michael Thomas is no longer that particular player. But one player that is a free agent is Devin McCourty from the Pats. Now, he's 32 years old, so we're starting from that. You know, is he going to be a guy that when you guys are ready to win, that he's going to be still playing at that particular level? That's a very tricky spot. But if you believe that this particular guy can help sort of round some of these guys out, I think that might be somewhere to target. Because overall, I think that there's probably going to come a point where they're going to need a top-end cornerback on this team. And that's why I'm totally not against drafting Jeff Okuda with the 4th pick in the draft if he's available. I know projections have him going to Detroit. But I think eventually there's going to come a point where I think that particular position and that particular high-end player is going to be needed on this roster if the defense is going to be eventually what they hope it will be.
Okay.
So what's your plan?
What's your grade? Yeah.
For the cornerback, give me a C. I'll secondary. Give him a C minus. Secondary. Overall, you know what? I'm gonna give him a C minus. I won't go too hard.
Okay.
I won't give him a D like I probably should. I'm gonna give him a pass because they were young. I'll give him a C minus.
Okay. Steve Azul, do your thing.
Yeah, me and Carl see similar. I had this. You know, if you want to break it into two. But I'll put an overall grade on top of it, and I'll get to the reasons quick because of time. I looked at the safeties more of a C-, and then the corners as a D+. So overall, corners as a D, not necessarily because of the time, but the way they coached up, because they took the field and all the coaching and all that stuff mesh. I still had to analyze it, give it something. We could always go to a coaching episode and give that a grade on another time. But to your guys' points, DeAndre Baker, when he came back from the injury, he struggled versus fast corners, but I think he was miscoached. And I'm with Ed. I think that part of the field, it didn't coach up to the the young talent for what it was. I mean, post-game episodes you heard guys like DB Nation scream about Corey Ballantyne, because I was with him, because, you know, don't put him inside in the slot. You're misusing them. These guys were getting put in particular positions that they should not have been in the first place. And then if you compound the fact that you can't get to the quarterback, so these guys are getting extra seconds to stick with receivers in a pretty much a defense where you can barely touch the guy down the field. So it was a terrible situation. Antonio Hamilton, he can't cover. I mean, as far as getting it to the line of scrimmage and tackles, he's okay. But as far as coverage, I mean, that Dallas game really pissed me off. And I can remember Lady Blue just screaming about Antonio Hamilton.
Oh,
God. It's vibrant. It left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm with you. I love Julian Love. You guys know I love Julian Love when we drafted him at the draft, the Notre Dame, because I knew they were going to use him right as he's kind of like a cornerback safety play. And when he did play, he played well. The safety situation, Bethea should not be leading the damn team at some point in tackling. That's the issue. Like D-line, linebackers, they're not doing their job, getting off the ball and rapping. The free safety should not be making those type of plays. The guy's older in age. I mean, for his age, I mean, I thought he did okay. I know he had some bad games, like you said, Carl. But, I mean, you know, as far as his age and because of the guys, the front seven did not do their job. He had to go out of his position and cheat a little bit, come up to the ball. And sometimes he did get they got picked on behind, like in the Green Bay game in the snow. Let me see. Who else did we not cover? I said Ballantyne. DeAndre Baker, you know, he struggled in that Dallas game. That's the speed and playing off the ball. It was just overmatched. Sam Beal, the Philadelphia game, the Monday night game, really left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm kind of with Robbie on that. I don't know exactly what the Giants are going to do with that. Michael Thomas is probably on his way out. There might be an opportunity for Sean Chandler, but we will see. But as far as Tom, because a lot of guys kind of said what I wanted to say, as a unit D+, but I think, it's like Ed said, I think they need to be coached up. And I think with the staff, with Graham, Judge, and they get back to some techniques and rapping and tackling and coverage illegal touching down the field, stuff like that. I think that could be cleaned up, but that's more being optimistic. So hopefully this coaching staff can get to that. Let's get to some – Chris, you anything, you know, anything else before we get to some final thoughts?
No, I just want to say something. I just want to – just basically just borrowing off of you guys, just listening to everything. I'm noticing that we have a new defensive coordinator here, and we have a new defensive line coach here. And we've got a new an outside linebacker coach and an inside linebacker coach and a defensive backs coach and an assistant – We have a new squad. Jody Wright's here, man. I'm wondering as a unit, because what happened during this show, you guys already identified all of the issues from last year, what you saw, what needed improvement, and where we needed to make changes in terms of the roster and the depth. And I'm pretty sure because they are coaching the staff that they're doing the same thing. I just would like to know. I like to pick their brain. Figure out what do they think, taking a little bit away from Carl's earlier point, what do they think the future holds in terms of how to build a standout, stout, knockdown, killer defense? I'm just curious. I am just curious because if we've seen all of this, and we are definitely some head breakers here when it comes to this team, this roster, this franchise, I wonder what the hell they're thinking. Because they're coming in gangbangers right now, and they're going to make some big changes. And it's just a comment. I saw my comment. It's not a question. I'm just wondering. And on that note, let's go around the table.
Because Worm couldn't make this episode, but he inboxed his thoughts. He had a lot to say. We'll probably give him some time to speak on it. We'll ask him. But he says the secondary was an F. He said the secondary was an F. The linebackers was a C-minus, D+. The D-line was a D. But, we didn't get into the coaching as far as grading, but he gave them an F. And it was written in big letters, F.
Wow.
So yeah, but that, we'll let Worm expound on that when he next time he gets on or whatever. But let's get some final thoughts.
Let's get some final thoughts, Ed.
Yeah, Ed, final thoughts, please tell everybody how you could be found, man, and you know your website, the social media.
We have a website called the Big Blue Huddle. You can Google Big Blue Huddle. It's not the Draft Report, but Big Blue Huddle is a message board. We talk football online 24/7, 365. Giantsfans.net is the name of the website. We have several boards, but the football board is called the Big Blue Huddle. Yeah, you know, I just want to say, you know, Lit, Robbie, Carl, you know, you guys are really you know your shit, and it was a really interesting podcast, and I'm very happy that I came on. And Steve reminded me about it, and I've been on for a while, so I'm really happy that I took part in it. My final thoughts, Carl made a really good point about having a veteran in the secondary, and I think it's important to have a veteran cornerback. And there's a lot of unrestricted free agent cornerbacks that they could take a look at, but it's a really, really good point. You were talking about what these coaches are looking at and what they're doing now. Well, they're looking at film and they're deciding who's going to be the nucleus of the team. And I think Chris, I think they're going to say, okay, this is the talent we have and this is where we have to fill in. And are we going to run a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense? And what do we need to do to bring our young pups, which is what Gettleman calls those cornerbacks, how are we going to elevate them so they can do their job better and become better players? So I think that's what they're looking at. I think the interesting thing is the draft. I think there's going to be a run of quarterbacks. I think Cincinnati, I don't think Burrow wants to go to Cincinnati. That could be interesting. But I think you got four quarterbacks there. There's going to be a run for them. And we might be in a position to draft down. So instead of looking at Isaiah Simmons and maybe whatever they would pick at that point, we might be able to get an offer to trade down and to get some more picks. And that would be interesting because this team does have a lot of holes. We've only talked about defense.
Yes.
So those are my final thoughts.
I totally agree. Fantastic. Ed, you're
Ed.
Beautiful mind here. Thank you so much.
Giantsfans.net.
Big Blue Huddle. That's right. Carl, Big Blue Huddle. I mean, blue.com.
Yes. Yes, thanks. Hey, listen, I want to thank everybody for this episode tonight, Robbie and everybody, for everybody's thoughts here, because, you know, we're trying to look for improvement. We're looking back and we're looking ahead and, you know, and actually to sort of expound on the point that was just made, you know, about the Giants potentially trading down, you know, there seems to be the draft, if you look at it, and I'll just actually close it with this here. The draft is going to start at pick number 3. If you take a look at how this is setting up to break down.
Exactly.
Detroit.
That's right.
Detroit, because originally we had sort of had the thought that, okay, the two couple teams behind the Giants were going to perhaps set us up to make a deal with these guys. But instead of trading with us, they might decide, you know what, let's just go right to the source. Let's go right to number 3 and make that decision. But if Detroit does whatever Detroit loves to do for the last 50 years, and now the Giants hold all the cards, the question that I keep wondering is, and I keep thinking back to that quote that Gettleman had last year about quote-unquote getting too cute, you know, moving back and trying to set yourself up in a specific draft spot, and I keep wondering, is he just going to keep the draft pick at number 4 like he always would seem to do, or would he be bold and take advantage of the teams that might be inquiring and will be inquiring if that time comes in the draft where you're at number 4, Tua is available, you have the ability, you're not drafting him, they know you're not drafting him, but the competitors are trying to trade up for you. Do you hold them up right then and there and say, listen, give me what I want? Or do the Giants just say, you know what, we're just going to take Simmons and we're just going to forget about the ransom that we can get? I wonder. And that's going to be about a 3-month question that has to be answered.
I'm so glad you said that. I totally agree with you. I think that the new staff that has come aboard will be more receptive to what's going on, and it'll probably be in the general manager's ear. Thank you very much, Carl. You hit it on the button. Oh, man, this is a very exciting episode. What are we going to do next week, Steve, for our wonderful stakeholders and frontliners?
Well, you could be on next week. You're going to hear nothing but dead air and static because we'll be back on in 2 weeks for the offense.
Oh, shoot. I forget. Yes, let's say that. Let us say that. Let's go back. Let me see. 2 weeks would be combine, would it not?
We'll get to the offense. We'll maybe touch on both, but offense.
Yeah, we have to do it
a little bit of combine because we get to
start.
The combine at the other side of that. So, Chris, your final thoughts, and then we'll wrap up.
That is my final thought. I think we have. I'm more excited of the incoming coaching staff than I am of everything else. The grades are what they are. I think we had enough intelligentsia here with Ed from Big Blue Huddle and Carl from Big Blue Chicago and Litt from Big Blue Arizona and Robbie and everything NYG to go ahead and give a brain trust to what we just saw and where we need to go from here. And I believe that knowing that and hearing that and once the frontliners and stakeholders and also Giants coaching staff who are listening to the show right now on www.bleedblue.com, when they internalize everything that has been said this past hour and a half, don't know. Don't realize what's going on here and where we're headed and where we need to head. So that's what's happening. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Bleed Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show, www.bleedblueshow.com. As I said, with the archives, iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I'm the Godfather, and I'm going to hand it off to the Sangre Azul himself.
Yeah, man. Thanks to everybody. Great information. I always like when Litt and Carl, Ed, and then when Worm's here, and, of course, Lady Blue, Kristen, everybody else, Chris, yourself. I can sit back, and I can really get an understanding where they're coming from because, like, we're watching the same game, but we see a different perspective. Similar things for the most part overall, but little minute details that I kind of shut the hell up, go on mute, and say, oh, okay, you know what? He's got a point because I was looking at it like this. They saw it like this. It all makes sense as far as the ins and outs with the personnel, the scheme with this team, so on and so forth. But, man, we're going to post the grades on the Bleed Blue Show page and Instagram. And, of course, we'll send the links, of course, to GiantsFan.net, the Big Blue Huddle board, BlueBlueChicago.com, of course, Big Blue of Arizona, the Warren fan page. So we'll get everybody's grades out there. And, of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks to get to the offense. Good to discuss this with knowledgeable Giants fans, Chris and Ed and Carl, Litt, so on and so forth. Good episode, guys, and we'll definitely share with the fan base and share the links, man. I have nothing else to say because we're out, man. Sangre Azul.
We are out. Sangre Azul. Yes, indeed. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Good night, everybody.
Can you dig it?
Good night.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue.